This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The president addresses the issue of religious freedom at the United Nations.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The United States is founded on the principle that our rights do not come from government. They come from God. This immortal truth is proclaimed in our Declaration of Independence and enshrined in the First Amendment to our Constitution's Bill of Rights. Our founders understood that no right is more fundamental to a peaceful, prosperous, and virtuous society than the right to follow one's religious convictions.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It is my great honor to be here today with the President of the United States to reaffirm America's commitment to what the people of our nation have always believed, that every person is endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. And Americans have always believed our first freedom is the freedom of religion.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, the President of the United States is at the United Nations this morning as we're coming to you live. You're hearing us tape delayed. It was a speech he gave this morning in New York at the United Nations on religious freedom, part of a religious freedom summit. And in attendance in the meeting was our client, Andrew Brunson. The president talked about his release from Turkey. And then the president also mentioned the situation in China, where we have Pastor John Saw in jail in China. Again, for practicing his faith. They come up with all these reasons that they assert, but the reality is it's because they're practicing their faith. So the president has both mentioned Brunson by name, and he was there, of course, but also, and I think this is important, the situation in China, which is very, very serious, and it's something that we've been concerned about for a long time. CeCe, let me start with CeCe Howes, our senior counsel here at the ACLJ. This is an important summit, but we've got a situation in China. The president, do we have that sound? Let's go ahead and get that. I'm sorry?
We have the vice president.
Okay, let's go ahead and mention this from the vice president.
Communist Party in China has arrested Christian pastors, banned the sale of Bibles, demolished churches, and imprisoned more than a million Uyghurs in the Muslim population.
All right, so that's Vice President Pence. We actually represent, CeCe, one of those pastors.
That's correct. Pastor John Saw is a actually U.S. permanent lawful resident, and he has been in prison for over 2.5 years, specifically, and the only reason is because of his faith in Jesus. He was living out his faith, building schools, providing for the needy, and he got caught up in China's crackdown on Christianity, and he has been in prison for 2.5 years without being able to see his family. It's a terrible situation in China right now.
Yeah, so the vice president bringing attention to that, and like I said, mentions Andrew Brunson, who we successfully were able to, and the president, because of the president's efforts here, to get released from Turkey. And now we've got, and then the vice president mentioned the situation in China. Jordan, you reference this in your book.
That's right.
The Next Red Wave. There's a chapter actually said, Your Voice, Global Impact. And that chapter focuses on religious liberty.
Yeah, religious liberty internationally, specifically what the president is doing right now. The president, by hosting this event, which is officially titled, At the United Nations, The Global Call to Protect Religious Freedom. I want people to know we've got ACLJ team members at the event there. Brunson's were our client as well. But in the book, we talk about the difference that it's been like for these cases under President Trump than it was under President Obama. Because what we want to do is, by encouraging people to really get excited about the upcoming election, is remind them about what it was like before. So we compare it to like the Iranian pastor in prison, Saeed Abedini, and what we had.
Begging to get them there.
Versus the Trump administration sanctioning Turkey to get Pastor Brunson home. And also cases you've got Miriam Ibrahim and others that, again, took so much extra work from the previous administration to this administration that gets things done.
So we're hoping that's the case for Pastor John Saw. All right, let me encourage you, if you want to talk to us about the importance of religious liberty to you, call us at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, comes out tomorrow. Get the book today, The Next Red Wave, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. You also get the ebook. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Calling on focus on religious liberty at the United Nations for a very long time. I mean, this has been an ongoing effort of the American Center for Law and Justice, literally for years. And finally, we've got it. And Cece Heil does a lot of our work at the UN, along with Than Bennett, and we've got a whole team. We got a team up there now. But Cece, talk about the significance first of this process that they're even having this summit today. How important that is.
It is amazing. It's unprecedented that the United States and President Trump would be holding his own event during the UN General Assembly and specifically focusing on religious liberty. It's unheard of. You know, we do the universal periodic reviews highlighting all the countries as they come up and their religious liberty violations. We do that 3 times a year, and it's almost like you're just never getting anywhere. So the fact that President Trump is holding an entire event at the United Nations in New York, focusing on this issue is amazing.
How significant do you think that is, Jordan? Because you've been involved in this for a long time, too. And you said this earlier before the break, and this is really true, folks. On these other cases, and we've had a lot of them over the years, getting attention from the administrations was very, very difficult.
They loved hashtags. We call it in the next red wave, hashtag diplomacy, hashtag trying to, again, get these hostages out by hashtag. And, of course, social media and radio broadcast and getting out on television, that's important. But that's like all the Obama administration would do. Like, remember the Bring Back Our Girls? We've still got some of those girls captured, like Leah Karubi. Also, I mean, that again, I wanted to remind people in the next red wave how far we've come in being able to handle these issues of individual persecution. So it's the case like a Pastor Brunson, versus how it was dealt with under the Obama administration, like a Syed Abedini, where you had to trade $7 billion in the Iranian nuclear deal, and Syed himself wasn't even so excited about what they had to do to get him out because America was so weak at that point, versus this administration that told a NATO ally, Turkey, by the way, if you don't do this, we're going to crash your economy. And then when they didn't let Brunson out, guess what the Trump administration started doing? Crashing the Turkish economy.
Yeah, so it wasn't hashtag
actually,
diplomacy.
I mean, it was sanctioning individuals. It was tariffing, putting tariffs on goods from Turkey. And eventually, Erdogan, a strong man, as President Trump said today.
Yeah, I'm going to play that in a minute.
Folded. He folded. And so that is part of the action here, is to remind you about how good it's gotten under this administration, but what it could be like again if you don't fight hard to make sure that people get out.
Yeah, it's very tough when, I mean, I remember the Syed Abedini case, getting the Obama administration to finally, you know how we finally got him to do it? I mean, this is horrible to even say. I'm going to say it, though, because he's been out for years. He was traveling to Boise for an event. And I got in touch with the White House. He's traveling to Boise for an event. He better meet with the pastor's wife. I mean, it was in his family. That's where they lived at the time. And that, to me, was outrageous that that was even not already done. But he did meet, and that did help. But again, I think the hashtag diplomacy is exactly right. That's what it was. You need more than that. Here's what the president said about our client, Pastor Andrew Brunson.
With us today is Pastor Andrew Brunson, who was imprisoned in Turkey for a long period of time. Last year, my administration was thrilled to bring him back home after a very short and respectful negotiation with a very strong man and a man who's become a friend of mine, fortunately, President Erdogan of Turkey. I called the president. I said, he's an innocent man. They've been trying to get Andrew out for a long time, previous administration. I don't think they tried too hard, unfortunately. But I want to thank President Erdogan, and I want to thank you, Pastor, for being here with us today. Where is Andrew? Is he around someplace? Thank you, Andrew.
There you have it. And that was a reference. Again, if you support the work of the ACLJ, there's your client at the United Nations being addressed by the President of the United States. So that's a very good thing. I mean, I'll never forget some of the criticism that came out. Can I say this just to, I want to, now that he's been out, Andrew's been out. Do you know one of the papers, I have them nameless at this point, criticized whether it was ethical for me to represent the President of the United States while I was trying to get Andrew Brunson out of prison, an American citizen, as if that was an ethical dilemma. Are you using your influence with the president to try to get one of your clients released from a jail in Turkey? Yes. Okay? I mean, of course you would be. Any lawyer would. But the fact that that was even in the mix tells you what was going on. But this was a very good day for the United States to have this Religious Freedom Summit. And this is something, Cece, I know you've been working on and others. This makes a big difference when you can get this moving.
It does. And, you know, we worked day and night on Pastor Brunson's case for 2 years. And to, you know, see him released and then see the president acknowledge that and the role that the president had in helping secure his release. And then again, an event like this at the United Nations in New York, specifically focusing on religious freedom that the president himself put together. That is unheard of. It is just, it's amazing.
It really is. It really is something else to see. But let's talk about the substantive. And by the way, I want to know this question, talking about elections coming up. How important is religious freedom or religious liberty to you? 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Jordan has a chapter in his book that's, by the way, it's out tomorrow, The Next Red Wave. It's chapter 8, and it deals with global impact and your voice making a difference. And let me tell you something. In these cases, when we present petitions to that United Nations with hundreds of thousands of people involved or 500,000 in some of these cases, I don't know what the final response was on Andrew Brunson's. I'm going to get that. But, I mean, I remember Syed Abedini's was, I think, over a half a million.
Yeah, we have it here, like a Sia Abibi's was 825,000.
Okay, let's go through these. This is information that's in the next red wave. Okay.
Yeah, so a Sia Abibi's was 825,000 signatures on her behalf from Be Heard and ACLJ. She got arrested in 2009, remember, accused of blasphemy. She sentenced to death by hanging, a mother of five.
Over 800,000.
Ultimately, over 800,000 on the petition. Ultimately, she is released from death row November 2018.
Yeah. Took a long time.
Took a long time, but dealing with Pakistan there, and took a lot of international pressures. And that one of the issues was that you'd find good judges, and they would either be killed. Ministers of the government who supported her efforts to be released would be executed by their own security guards. And so it was tough to even find a judicial panel that would sit to hear the case, because under their law, they knew she should be found not guilty. And ultimately, she's been able to get exile elsewhere outside of Pakistan, and the Pakistani government cooperated with the U.S. and others in ensuring that. And so we talk about that in the book. I mean, that's a lot of people coming together to stand up.
Was that the largest, I think? Was Sia Abibi's the largest? Or was
I think Syed Abedini might have been the
largest. All right,
largest.
So let me say, Will, what was Syed Abedini's? It was over a million. Yeah, so we exceeded a million And that's where your voice really does make a difference. And it makes a difference, and Cece will tell you this, it makes a difference at the United Nations.
It absolutely does, because we're able to sit there, and in our written submissions and in our oral submissions, we always acknowledge on whose behalf we're there, not only the ACLJ and the ECLJ, but on behalf of the 600,000, 700,000 people who have signed on to our petition. And that makes a huge difference. That makes the United Nations sit up and listen, because it's not just one NGO representing there. It's literally sometimes millions of people that we're representing and speaking on behalf of.
And by the way, and having your voice amplifying that is a really significant thing. I mean, we go to these, we just came back from a series of meetings at the United Nations. Right before the General Assembly, there's all these other meetings. So we had a team, one of our government affairs teams that deals with the UN, was up there meeting with various embassies and ministers. And we're doing these, what's called, UPA, these reports, these they're called periodic reports on religious freedom. And we've done them from countries around the globe. Andrew Brunson's petition had 599,939 on his. So people are signing these, and it makes a big, big difference. We've got Pastor Sauza's up right now, and that's another one that is getting some attention. Let's get the latest on that one. We got an interesting question came in on Facebook, and that is from Mary. She says, thank you for covering all this. There's so much happening all over that it's hard to keep up. I'm beyond glad that you are there representing us. You know, Mary, we can do that because of your support of the work of the American Center for Law and Justice and our European Center for Law and Justice, which is actually the entity that has the NGO status. When I write a book one day, a book about kind of the life experiences I've had leading this organization over the decades, I'm going to put a chapter in there about getting that UN recognition. That was a battle in and of itself just to get recognized, let alone then starting to engage. But your support enables us to do that, so we encourage you to do that. All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back. 800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me ask you, everybody that's listening to the broadcast today or watching by Facebook, Periscope, TV, ACLJ.org. Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, is out tomorrow. It is released tomorrow. Your support for that book will make a big difference on the hands it gets into. So I want to encourage everybody that's listening right now to go to thenextredwave.com. That's thenextredwave.com. To get information on where you can get the book. You can pre-order at Barnes & Noble's. You can do it at, Amazon. Anywhere you get your books, basically, you can pre-order the book, The Next Red Wave. There is a chapter of the book dealing with this issue.
Dealing with the global, and then two chapters dealing with domestic religious liberty. Chapter 2 gets into it, and Chapter 12, both with domestic. So religious liberty here at home versus religious, what we call persecution globally, in the other chapters. So there's a lot in here about the religious liberty issue in The Next Red Wave. Go to thenextredwave.com, pre-order today, hardback or the ebook.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
You know, I was mentioning during the break Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, which is also available in as an ebook, and we encourage you to get that. That's a great way to stay engaged in all these issues, and you can get it at thenextredwave.com, and it's out tomorrow, so we encourage you to get it. Andrew Brunson's petition, 599,939. Pastor Saul's petition, 204,000. That's really just started in the last 4 or 5 months. Pastor Saeed Abedini's final number, 1,171,134. Your voice makes a huge difference, especially when you're at Jordan, the United Nations, where the president is today.
That's right. I mean, it is all about reaching countries, letting your voice be heard. We have a vehicle to do it, which is unique at the American Center for Law and Justice through our European Center for Law and Justice. And remember, just last week in Geneva, while we had a team in New York meeting on religious liberty issues in the lead up to the UN General Assembly, we have a team member there today at the summit that the president held. But we had a team in New York, and we also had our team in Geneva at the UN Human Rights Council doing an oral presentation there. That's the European Center for Law and Justice. Why do we have this unique voice? Because we go right into the, if you want to call it, the den of vipers in this situation at the UN. Which can be a tough place for those with that believe the way we do on a lot of issues. And we're talking about people around the world who believe the way we do, like our European staff or our staff in Jerusalem. And so we simultaneously had ACLJ staff at the UN in New York and at the UN in Geneva, and we're presenting at the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva. And it's because we have we worked very hard to get official status with the United Nations many years ago so that we could do this.
And that was a battle. That is a battle I'm going to tell one day, that getting that recognition. But one of the breaks I want to play, I think Christoph from our office in Strasbourg was, actually, let me give you a sense of this right now. It was very good.
Yeah.
This is on Pastor Saw at the UN in Geneva. I think it was last week. Yeah, last week. Take a listen.
I now give the floor to the European Center for Law and Justice. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam President. On the 5th of March 2017, Pastor Sao was targeted and detained by police when entering China, where he is a citizen and holds a valid passport. He was taken to the Menglian Detention Center and held for over 2 years. After his arrest, China has continued to not only violate and ignore Pastor Sao's rights, but its own laws. As we have previously pointed out to this council in great detail, the court in this case acted in violation of many PRC criminal procedural laws, resulting in an unjust conviction and appeal process, all while denying Pastor Sao visitation with his family, proper medical attention and nutrition. The most recent denial of Pastor Sao's rights occurred on July 25, 2019, when in an unprecedented move, the court simply made a public announcement of its decision to uphold the trial court's decision without holding an appeal hearing as required by law. In addition to the public announcement being heavily guarded by police officers, which is highly unusual, the U.S. consulate officers' repeated requests to attend the public announcement were denied. Now that his unjust sentence has been illegally upheld, Pastor Sao has been transferred from the Menglian Detention Center to Kaming Prison, where he will undergo a 2 to 3 months orientation period. If at the end of that period, Pastor Sao is finally allowed visitors, it will be the first time in over 2.5 years that his wife and children will be allowed to see him. This council should respectfully and firmly remind China of its continuing obligations as a charter member of the UN to ensure its citizens have the rights to freedom of religion and belief and the right to receive equal treatment under the law. Pastor Sao should be released and returned to the United States to be reunited with his wife and sons. Thank you.
There you have it. That's the ACLJ, the ECLJ in action at the UN last week on religious freedom, this time a case involving a pastor that is a legal American resident. In other words, he's allowed to live here, permanent resident, and was arrested in China for engaging in educational efforts and proclaiming the gospel. And that's what he ends up in jail for. And, of course, they'll make it state charges, which is what they do. What's the status of that case, Cece, right now? I know it's been a very tough case so far.
He was just transferred. His appeal that had been delayed illegally for over a year was it wasn't actually heard. They just announced a sentence that they were going to uphold the trial court sentencing. So he wasn't allowed a hearing, which by China's own law, he should have been allowed a hearing. And so now he's been transferred to the Kunming prison, and he is undergoing a 2 to 3 month orientation period is what they call it. And like Christoph said at the HRC, that perhaps, hopefully, at the end of this 2 to 3 month period, he will be able to see his wife and children for
right
the
now,
first
he cannot.
Time. He cannot.
All right, this is what the president said about religious minorities being persecuted, number 14.
As we speak, Jews, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Sikhs, Yazidis, and many other people of faith are being jailed, sanctioned, tortured, and even murdered, often at the hands of their own government, simply for expressing their deeply held religious beliefs. So hard to believe.
At least we have a president that is willing to address these issues. All right, we're taking your calls. 800-684-3110. How important is the issue of religious liberty to you? How do you think it impacts the upcoming elections? 800-684-3110. You have not had a lot of discussion about that in these Democratic debates. Let's go to Daniel, who's calling on line one. Hi, Daniel.
Hello there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make sure that you also knew that for the accomplishment, you were a speaker many years ago during my 1989-1990 school year there, Esper University, when you spoke at the chapel service. So that's what I wanted you to add under your list of accomplishments.
Well, I remember that speech. It's hard to believe it was that long ago, but you're right. It was a long time ago. Well, I'm glad to hear it, and glad to hear that you called in, and we appreciate that. Look, part of what we're trying to do, we have this with our Be Heard Project. BeHeardProject.com is mobilizing, Jordan, and you talk about this on the next Red Wave, young people for action.
That's right. I mean, this is all about...
Although our caller is not so young now, because if he was a college student then, and that was 28 years ago, 90, right? No, eight, yeah. So how old? He's probably mid-40s. All right, go ahead.
The next Red Wave, you know, what we're trying to do is to, for people who listen to this broadcast, who watch, whether you're Facebook and Periscope or listen on the radio broadcast, who's, you know, Fox News viewer, you're going to be a voter. You vote in midterms. You're definitely going to vote in a presidential election. What we're trying to get you accomplished by this book is to, one, get you pumped up about the 2020 election. Take nothing for granted, because I think it's very clear since day one, they've been trying to undo the Trump presidency since before he even took the oath of office, and continue to do so today. And then second, there won't be the surprises about the turnout. So they're going to be ready for the Midwest. They're going to be more prepared, the left, for the Rust Belt and for states that Hillary Clinton was ignoring. So voting is not going to be enough. And what this book kind of encourages you to do is to take the next step, which is get involved locally. Find other people like you. Gather together and get involved in grassroots efforts. And if you don't know how already, election years are the best years to do it, because you get county parties that open up, campaign offices that open up. And so wherever you are in the country, there's a place that you can gather with like-minded people and get involved in this 2020 election. And that's ultimately what the book is all about, is taking you to the next step, getting you fired up and ready, and then getting you to the next step in your political engagement.
So the book is out tomorrow. So it is released tomorrow. So if you've ordered it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you're going to be getting it right away. Ebooks available tomorrow as well. And that's very important for those of you that use e-readers. Get it as well. Go to thenextredwave.com, thenextredwave.com. The book is out tomorrow. It's got a lot of great information in it. We're going to do a special broadcast, not on a radio broadcast, but on Wednesday afternoon, and then we'll play again Wednesday evening about the book. But The Next Red Wave, get a copy of it today, ebook or hard copy. Back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110 in just a moment. But don't forget, Next Red Wave, pre-order it now, nextredwave.com.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
The president addressing the United Nations today in a very special assembly, and it was on the issue of religious freedom. And we got a great comment in from Mike on Facebook. He said, how powerful was it to have Pastor Brunson present today to show the United Nations and the world how huge an issue Christians face simply because of their faith, and how significant it was actually for all of us at the ACLJ to see your client at the UN being talked about by the president of the United States, or having your client in the Oval Office with the President of the United States praying for the President of the United States. That was a pretty awesome moment, and Cece, you were there for that.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, it just
all for everybody.
It unfolded just beautifully, and I kind of had a hint because Noreen and I had talked.
That's Pastor Brunson's wife.
We had spoken pretty much every day for 2 years, and near the end, when we thought that he would be released, Noreen had shared with me that, she thought if they had an opportunity to pray for the president, they would like to take it. And so, I knew that that was on their hearts, but to see it unfold the way that it did so seamlessly and so beautifully, and
fantastic.
How President Trump just received it. I mean, there was not a hesitation. He immediately said yes and put his head down. It was beautiful. And with all the media in the room, everyone was pretty shocked. I mean, it changed the whole atmosphere of the room.
Yeah, I was very glad you were able to attend that event. That was a monumental day for us at the ACLJ, for our members around the country. In Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, which is out tomorrow, and you can get an ebook or the hard copy, there are three chapters dealing with the issue of religious freedom.
That's right. So we get into the global
side first.
The global side, which has its entire chapter, and then two different chapters right away. The second chapter of the book talks about so many of the issues that are about elections and the consequences, and it has a lot of those consequences are on how the federal government and state government treats religious people, whether it's zoning laws we talk about. We talk about local issues as well. So we get into that in chapter two. And then finally, chapter is again on elections, the consequences that they have, not just at the federal level, but at the very local level as well. We do so many of those zoning cases and religious land use cases, the RLUIPA cases. But we also talk about then in chapter 12, which is the chapter before the final chapter, and that is the sacred duty to vote. And in that chapter, we have examples about how, a vote here, a vote there for a city council member can change the way your church is treated, can change the way your church can expand or open up a new facility, your zoning commission, all of those votes that matter. And so that's what this is about. I mean, it's about taking your education about voting and politics and political engagement to the next level, because sometimes you're going to get to the voting booth and those people won't have an R or a D next to their name. So you've got to do some research about who they are and what they stand for. And especially when you get to those local elections. And then, of course, the federal impact. And we've seen under this administration a president willing to do, I think, everything he can through his executive power,
yes,
to protect religious liberty. Congress has gotten a lot tougher. So we talk about that in the book as well, that part of the goal of the next red wave in 2020 is obviously maintaining a Senate conservative control, maybe adding a seat or two, and then at least
How do you see the Senate?
I think in the best case scenario, there's three races the Republicans could
Alabama.
Win from Alabama. You've got Michigan and New Hampshire. I think Alabama's, with President Trump on the ballot, even if Roy Moore, who's kind of controversial, I think that President Trump may carry him over. I'm not 100%, but I think he probably would. I think probably better to have someone else there, but again, that's my position. In Michigan, you have a pretty good Republican candidate running there against, but I think that those are less likely, and then New Hampshire, you could have Cord Louis Daskey.
Yep. All right. Taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. How important is the issue of religious freedom to you, and do you want to see it discussed in the election? 1-800-684-3110. The book is The Next Red Wave by Jordan Sekulow. It is out tomorrow. Now, you can get the hard copy, which I'm holding in my hand, or you can order the ebook, and both of those are available. So, again, they will be delivered. The ebook, you order it tomorrow, or today, you're getting it tomorrow. So we encourage you to do that. We want to get this on as many of the bestsellers lists. It's already made some of the Amazon list, which is great. TheNextRedWave.com is where you can get information, but it's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Walmart, Targets, Powell's, and others. I mean, so NextRedWave.com. Back with more, including your calls, in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
We got a great question that came in from Cheryl on Facebook. We'll take your comments and questions from Facebook and Periscope. And also, if you want to call us, 800-684-3110 on religious freedom. Cheryl asks this: religious freedom is of utmost importance. So glad we have a president fighting for freedom of religion. Jordan, how important is that?
I think it's absolutely so important to have a president, the leader of the free world, come together at the United Nations at a time, again, where there's so many issues going on. And not just have an event on religious freedom and he comes for a minute, but to host it at the UN General Assembly the day before he will address all of those world leaders, and calling on the international community, and this is right from the White House, to take actual concrete steps to prevent attacks against people on the basis of their religion or beliefs, and to ensure the sanctity of houses of worship in all public spaces for all faiths. So he's calling on those governments, some who are allies, some who are not, but that you need to take concrete action to protect your religious minorities and religious people. And a lot of the focus is on Christians because that is who comes under attack in a lot of the world, but also mentioned Yazidis, also mentioned the Muslims in China. So you protect the people, but you also have to protect the people from total extinction, which was one of the goals of ISIS, which their goal was to destroy the houses of worship. And President Trump talked about that as well, that you've got to ensure the protection there. That's where they target Easter Sundays with the suicide attacks and the bombing attacks. And governments, state actors, have a role to play in countries like Pakistan and predominantly Muslim countries that have Christian power, in Egypt, where we do have a good relationship with. They have a role to play in protecting those facilities when they know it is a specific holiday that is going to bring attention. So I encourage people to really take this seriously from the president, because it is an issue internationally that that we've made a lot of progress on, yep, but there's a whole lot of work to do. I mean, remember, this is a White House that is now having to re-defeat ISIS inside the refugee camps. Yep. ISIS is reforming inside refugee camps that are kind of out of control. And so we're using special forces again to make sure that there isn't another actual Islamic state in the way it was. But they are persecuting Christians once again inside refugee camps, inside UN refugee camps. There's persecution of Christians going on. So I think very timely for the president to remind the world community, hey, it's not just on the U.S. We all have to do this. All have to do this.
Yeah, interesting here is one on Facebook said, what kind of power does the UN have when dealing with these countries that persecute against religious groups? So it's that's a great question. What is the power of the UN? We've seen it to be very, very important, very powerful. Let's talk about it.
Right. Well, one arm of the United Nations that we use is the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention. So we are able to actually file complaints with them, and it acts like basically a court of law, and they actually will hand down an opinion, and then they present that to the offending country. And they basically even say, you know, you need to release this person, you need to give them reparations, you need to, like, they will give the opinion of what needs to happen. So that is actually something that the UN can do proactively. Typically, the UN is more passive, where they can announce something, but they don't really have an arm that can enforce it. With the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, that is an opportunity for us to have more of a chance of getting something done in a country that's offending religious liberty.
You know, and that is something interesting. So because sometimes people think the UN really, talks a big game, they condemn, and it really doesn't matter until the UN Security Council takes action, where you could have, you know, war authorized, sanctions authorized, blockades authorized, and we're a permanent member of the UN Security Council. We have a veto power. We can stop anything we want from happening, but so can the other permanent members, Russia, China, the UK, and France. But there is this that working group you talk about can take really significant steps in elevating the case of someone who is persecuted because of their religious faith, thus embarrassing the country that's doing it. Not just us embarrassing them,
correct,
or grassroots people embarrassing them, or the media embarrassing them, but the United Nations itself, which these countries use a lot of times, these countries and their governments specifically use to kind of bolster their own image or their credibility to their people.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I, you know, was going to highlight too. You touched right on it, that shame is a good kind of motivating factor that the United Nations can use. So once again, it's not just the ACLJ calling out a country. It is now the United Nations, the collective, basically, world calling out a country and shaming them for their actions and being a bad actor.
You know, I think it's just important. Leah on Facebook wrote, has there been another president that's put this much focus on religious freedom? Interesting enough, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not trying to take away from President George W. Bush. He did a lot of work, we were dealing with 9/11. We were dealing with terrorism. So we were dealing with this kind of new threat. But this president alone, I mean, you had the founding fathers who cared deeply about religious freedom. So you don't want to take away from them and enshrining that in our Constitution. But I'd say modern-day presidents to actually kind of take the chains off religious people. Like the president said, though the Johnson Amendment is still on the books legislatively, he issued an executive order that said it needs to be interpreted. And we talk about that in the next red wave, how he has done everything he can through the power he has as president to take the chains off religious people in the United States.
Yeah, I don't know another president that's been so proactive, and especially I seriously don't know one that's held an event or called an event at the United Nations specifically focusing on a religious liberty. And I think Pence actually also called attention to the fact that out of religious persecution that happens around the world, 80% of that is targeted against Christians. I think in the past administration, we would have never heard that.
Yeah.
We're not ashamed to say, this administration's not ashamed to say, that out of persecution, religious persecution, and it happening all over the world, 80% of that is happening against Christians, and we need to stop that.
Yeah, I mean, the Christians face the majority of the persecution, and it doesn't, whatever we do for persecuted religious people, we always include the other minorities. But we don't like it when, whether it was our own State Department under John Kerry, which took a lot of pressure, and we talk about that in the next Red Wave, which is released tomorrow, how when he initially wanted to recognize the genocide by ISIS, didn't want to include the Christian genocide that ISIS was conducting, but only the Yazidis, and then say other religious minorities, didn't want to name Christians. I mean, that's what we were dealing with in the past administration. We're not dealing with that in this administration. President Trump, again, understands that it is about all religious liberty. Take a listen. This is Byte 16. For all religious people, whatever your faith may be, Byte 16.
America stands with believers in every country who ask only for the freedom to live according to the faith that is within their own hearts. As president, protecting religious freedom is one of my highest priorities and always has been.
I mean, so there, right there, you have it's one of his highest priorities in office, and it will continue to do so. And we are living evidence of that. And the next red wave talks about that. It's to encourage you to get out there and do more to get make sure this president gets reelected, make sure better members of Congress get elected, to make sure to the House maybe get a chance at taking back more seats in the House. Not, it would take a huge red wave to take back the House from the Democrats. Possible, but huge. But we can certainly make gains. We can make gains in the Senate, and we can reelect this president who has said, you know, there's nothing, it's one of my highest priorities, and we're living proof of that. We explain it in the next red wave, Cece, but we're living proof that if there is an issue that comes to our attention that we vet out, and we do, we make sure before we bring it to someone like the president of the United States or the vice president, that it's fully vetted, the claim, that that this team is on it from the president to the vice president to Secretary of State Pompeo.
Right. It's not just, you know, you can hear statements like this from a lot of administrations, but actions speak louder than words.
Yep.
I mean, and that's a truthful statement, and we can see that in this administration, that they are not afraid to take action. And we've seen that across the board in the United States and internationally. They stand up for religious freedom and, you know, religious belief.
You know, we, again, I want in the final segment of the broadcast coming up, 1-800-684-3110, why aren't we hearing this from, at all from Democrats in their debates? You don't hear anything about religious liberty, right? Or religious people, really, and unless they're attacking fundamentalists, as they like to say, or evangelicals. But again, how important of an issue do you think this should be? 1-800-684-3110. It has implications for the Supreme Court, the interpretation of the First Amendment, the interpretation of religious liberty. I think it's very important. We'll take your phone calls on it. And the silence you hear from Democrats when it comes to issues of true religious liberty. I'm not talking about claiming, oh, you're being Islamophobic by calling out my policy as anti-Semitic. No, I'm talking about real religious liberty. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Hey, on Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, I'm doing a live signing event, which is an online book signing. And you can actually sign up for this, purchase a book. You go to premiercollectibles.com/wave, and then I'll do the live signing so you can actually see me sign your book. And we'll be taking calls and comments on that. That's at premiercollectibles.com/wave. I'll talk more about it, but that's on Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can get a signed copy of The Next Red Wave as well. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let me encourage you to do something. Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, is out tomorrow, and there's both a hardback copy, which I'm holding in my hand, for those that are watching us on TV, and also there is an ebook copy, version as well, and that will be delivered to you tomorrow also. So we want to encourage you to either get the ebook or the hard copy, or both if you'd like. And there are combined lists of ebook, hardback. There's, you know, hardback only, ebook only. So we encourage you to get the book, acquire the book, share it with your friends, get a couple of copies, get it to folks. It's called The Next Red Wave. It is out tomorrow. It's just go to nextredwave.com, and that's all the places you can get the book. And I think that's really, really important as you look at the coming 2020 election and the importance of engagement. We talked about some of the engagement numbers that we've had over the issues of Christian persecution. You look at Saeed Abedini, almost 1,200,000. Brunson, almost 600,000. Already with Pastor Saul, over 200,000. And on it goes. So, again, we also have a project called Be Heard, and that is a project specifically dedicated to the persecuted church. And we encourage you to go to BeHeard.com. That's a great way to stay engaged on that issue because its focus is totally on that. And, Jordan, we started that a couple of years ago to give a specific portal for people to engage it on.
That's right, because this issue of international religious persecution, which we at the ACLJ, there's a big difference. We were just talking about this with Cece between when we talk about international religious persecution, whether it is of an individual who is imprisoned facing the death sentence or of an entire group like by ISIS or another Islamic terrorist group or a group like the Muslims in China where the state is persecuting them. That is an issue separate from the religious liberty battles we face in the United States and Europe. So the ECLJ, the ACLJ, or ACLJ Jerusalem, those are not persecution issues. Those are sometimes discrimination issues, religious liberty battles, interpreting our Constitution and laws. But it is not the same as having your life in jeopardy or 30-year in prison sentences or you're being arrested in the middle of the night. And so that's why we created the Be Heard Project, was so that people could focus in on those issues of real persecution that's happening around the world. Sometimes it's of an individual, so you can tell the story and you have the name. And then sometimes it's about an entire people group. And that's like the Christians that were almost completely wiped out by ISIS. So again, it's BeHeardProject.com, and it's a great place to go.
I just pulled the website up, the BeHeardProject.com, and CC, I'm looking at it right now. Of course, John Saul's on the front half of the cover because that's an ongoing case. But then you got Leah Sheribu, and we're involved in her case. We've got a situation in Nigeria with Christians there. Yusuf Nardakhani and Iran back in jail again. Chinese Christians that are, we've already talked about those cases. And then, of course, we've got the action at the United Nations where the president spoke today. And I'm sure we'll have articles up for Be Heard there. But when you look at all of those cases, what's the common denominator? The common denominator to me seems like you exercise your faith, we use it as a wedge, and we punish you, and we make up charges. And in the Leah Sheribu case, she was a kid when she was taken.
Right, right. And Leah Sheribu is a little bit different because Boko Haram has her.
Yep.
So, as a mother, right, that case just bothers me so much. She was 14 when she was nabbed, and they would not release her because she would not recant her faith.
And she is 19 now, correct?
She is 16. She 16. Just turned 16 while in captivity.
She's been in jail for 2 years?
She's been held by Boko Haram, so she is not in jail.
Version of a prison. Yes,
absolutely.
It's what it is.
And
it's just not an official
the
prison.
The horrors I can't even imagine of what that poor young girl is going through.
16 years old, 180,920 people signed on to her petition, and we're working on that case at the United Nations, too, trying to help her out and her family out. But the reports are that she's still alive, right?
Yes, right. There was a report that came out just a little while ago that maybe indicated that she had been killed, which Boko Haram has said they have threatened to kill her.
Yes.
But then the Nigerian government released a just recent report saying that they have confirmed that she is still alive.
What's the Nigerian government doing?
You know,
it's Boko Haram. It's
not enough, I don't think, but that's my personal opinion. But I think they could do more, and they have one girl that they need to focus on and really rescue.
Yeah, this is a really important case. Jordan has a chapter of his book, The Next Red Wave, called Your Voice, Global Impact. We've mentioned it a couple of times. But it really is an outline of how you can engage these issues as private citizens. Because when we talk about 180,920 people signing on to Leah Sherebou's petition, that's you that we're talking about. And it does make a huge difference.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. And this is all part of this grassroots effort that we know that you are grassroots folks, that people listen to this broadcast. This book is written for you. It's not written for someone who's never got involved in politics before, never voted before, never cared about issues. It's written for people who do care about the issues, who do vote, who do get involved, to say, okay, you've done all of this. You got a big election coming up in 2020, right? A defining election on a lot of policies, domestic and international, including the makeup of the Supreme Court.
Yep.
Okay, so if you've done all this other kind of work before, and you're pretty educated up on the issues, what else can you do with your time to help ensure a victory for conservatives in 2020? That's what the book builds to. That's what you're learning throughout the entire book. It's an encouragement. It's also a wake-up call to take nothing for granted, because we know that the left has been trying to undermine this president since before he took the oath of office. I mean, it's been the deep state, trying to delegitimize his presidency. And they are not going to be surprised that he underpolls. They're not going to be surprised that he does well in the Midwest. They're not going to be surprised that he does well in the Rust Belt. So all of those things that Hillary Clinton says she was surprised by in her polling, that's not going to be the case anymore. So whoever the nominee is, and we don't know who that will be on the other side of the aisle, they are going to get close to 50% of the vote, just because that's how divided our country is right now. So what does that mean? It will all come out down to grassroots activism. It will all come down to who turns out the most voters in the key states. And that's what the book ultimately gets to. How to do that.
Right. We're getting a lot of thank yous on Facebook, people thanking the ACLJ for all our efforts for persecuted Christians around the world. The truth of the matter is, without you, we can't do it. I mean, we're able to send these teams all over the globe because of your support. So I want to thank you, our members, that make a huge difference. Pray for Pastor Saul. Let me ask you another thing to pray for. CeCe's husband, Rick, who's a good friend of ours, a good friend of mine, is going to be having surgery in just about 48 hours. And I want to encourage everybody that's listening to this broadcast, there's millions of you listening to this broadcast right now. I want to encourage you to pray for Rick, Heil, and CeCe and their entire family as he has surgery in this coming next few days. Your prayers make a huge difference, and literally there are millions of you that are watching and listening to us right now. And I want to encourage you to lift Rick Heil up in prayer. I know that we're going to do that on air on Wednesday as well. The surgery is scheduled to take place. Surgery is Wednesday, right, CeCe?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Okay. So really uphold Rick. I mean, Rick's had a tremendous ministry career in music with Sonic Flood. He's written some of the, the anthems of Christian worship music. And it's a time when our friend needs our prayers, and that's what we do as friends. Pray for our friends. And we're going to pray for Rick Heil. I encourage all of you to do just that right now and in the days ahead. And remember Wednesday, specifically, make a note to yourself to pray on Wednesday for Rick when he's actually in surgery. Got great doctors that are doing the surgery, but your prayers to the great physician will make a big difference. I want to encourage you to do that. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. Great speech by the president on religious freedom. Don't forget also, Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, is out tomorrow. It's going to be on Fox and Friends in the mornings. It's going to be on Sean Hannity this afternoon. Go to nextredwave.com, nextredwave.com. You can order both the ebook or the hard copy. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. We'll talk to you tomorrow again. NextRedWave.com.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now.